Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnarled Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Killing for Coal: America's Deadliest Labor War by Thomas G. Andrews is a history book that examines the 1914 Ludlow Massacre and the wider Colorado coalfield conflict, often called the Great Coalfield War. Rather than treating Ludlow as an isolated outbreak of violence, Andrews places it within decades of struggle over mining labor, corporate power, immigration, industrialization, and the physical environment of the Western mining frontier. The book is especially concerned with how coal extraction shaped the lives of workers and managers alike, and how the demands of a fossil fuel economy altered communities, landscapes, and political relations. Using a broad historical lens, Andrews connects labor conflict to environmental history and social justice, showing that the conflict was not only about wages and union recognition, but also about land, work, and control over a region built around coal. The result is a study of industrial conflict that is both specific to Southern Colorado and significant for understanding American labor and environmental history more generally. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Ludlow as the climax of a much longer labor conflict. A central contribution of the book is its refusal to treat the Ludlow Massacre as a sudden or self-contained event. Andrews presents it as the most visible and deadly moment in a much longer struggle among coal miners, mine owners, private guards, and state power. By tracing the buildup over decades, he shows how repeated strikes, repression, and resistance created conditions in which open violence became possible. This approach matters because it changes the meaning of Ludlow. The massacre was not simply an accidental tragedy or a single act of brutality, but the outcome of an escalating conflict over labor rights and industrial control. The broader frame also helps explain why miners and their families were so deeply committed to the struggle. Their conflict was rooted in persistent insecurity, coercive company systems, and the refusal of industrial leaders to concede meaningful power to workers. Andrews, therefore, treats the massacre as a culmination, not a beginning, and uses that structure to show how industrial violence emerges from long historical processes rather than from one dramatic day alone. Secondly, coal mining as a social world shaped by corporate power. Andrews examines the coal camps and mining towns of Southern Colorado as organized social systems, not just workplaces. Company control extended beyond the mine shaft into housing, policing, commerce, and everyday life, which meant that labor conflict was also a struggle over community authority. This is important because it shows how mining capitalism could shape the total environment in which workers lived. Miners were not only selling labor, they were often living inside systems designed to regulate movement, discipline dissent, and limit independence. The book makes clear that family life, ethnic community, and local politics all became part of the conflict. In that sense, the labor war was not confined to the mine floor or the picket line. It spread through camps, company towns, and strike zones, where the line between economic exploitation and social control was blurred. Andrews uses this setting to show that corporate power in the coalfields worked through an entire social order, making resistance difficult, but also giving miners reasons to organize collectively against a system that touched nearly every part of daily life. Thirdly, the workscape environment as part of labor history. One of the book's most distinctive ideas is its attention to what Andrews calls the workscape, the physical and environmental setting in which mining labor took place. Instead of separating labor history from environmental history, he shows how the terrain, geology, infrastructure, and extracted resources shaped both production and conflict. Coal mining in the Western frontier depended on a harsh and dangerous environment, and the landscape itself influenced where camps were built, how labor was organized, and how power was enforced. This perspective broadens the book beyond a conventional account of unions and employers. It suggests that the material environment was not a neutral backdrop, but an active force in the history of work. The mines, coal seams, rail lines, camps, and foothills were all part of the same system. By linking labor struggle to the environment, Andrews also reveals how an economy built on fossil fuel extraction produced costs that were social, political, and ecological at once. This gives the book a wider significance because it connects a local strike to larger questions about industrial development and resource dependence. Fourthly, immigration. Class conflict, and the making of a militant workforce, the book also pays close attention to the human composition of the coalfields, especially the immigrant and working class communities drawn into the mines. Andrews shows that militancy did not emerge from abstract ideology alone. It developed among people living under precarious, divided, and often violent conditions. The coalfields brought together workers from varied backgrounds, and that diversity shaped both the strengths and the tensions of labor organization. The book's analysis suggests that class conflict in Southern Colorado was intensified by the collision between industrial capital and a workforce that was frequently vulnerable, mobile, and politically marginalized. At the same time, these communities developed forms of solidarity strong enough to challenge powerful employers. This matters because it reveals how labor militancy is made through lived conditions insecurity, shared hardship, and repeated encounters with coercion. Andrews does not romanticize the miners, but he does show why resistance took the forms it did. In his account, militancy is a historical response to exploitation and exclusion, not merely a rhetorical stance or a spontaneous reaction to one event. Lastly, why the book links labor history to environmental justice beyond reconstructing a labor conflict. Andrews uses the Colorado Coal War to ask larger questions about justice in an economy dependent on fossil fuel. The book argues that the struggles among miners, owners, consumers, and state authorities cannot be understood apart from the environmental consequences of coal extraction. This is one reason the book remains relevant beyond its historical setting. It suggests that industrial labor systems create interlocking costs workers face danger and discipline. Communities absorb disruption, and landscapes are reshaped to serve energy demand. Andrews's approach therefore connects class conflict to environmental responsibility without reducing one to the other. He shows that the social history of coal cannot be separated from the material history of extraction. That perspective distinguishes the book from narrower labor histories, because it asks readers to think about who benefits from fossil fuel production and who bears the burdens. The result is a study that is historically grounded but also conceptually broad, offering a framework for understanding how energy systems organize power, inequality, and environmental change. In conclusion, Killing for Coal will be most useful for readers interested in American labor history, the history of the Rocky Mountain West, environmental history, and the social consequences of industrial capitalism. It is especially valuable for anyone who wants more than a straightforward account of the Ludlow Massacre. Andrews provides that event in rich historical context. But the real strength of the book is its ability to connect a single strike to larger systems of work, space, corporate control, and environmental transformation. Readers seeking a broad interpretation of how mining shaped communities and politics will find the book especially rewarding. It also stands out because it does not separate labor conflict from the land and infrastructure that made coal extraction possible. That integration of social and environmental analysis gives the book a wider intellectual reach than many traditional labor histories. For scholars, students, and general readers, it offers a model of how local history can illuminate national questions about power, energy, and inequality. Its distinction lies in showing that the deadliest labor war in American history was also a story about the making of an extractive world. If you would like to support Thomas G. Andrews, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.